Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hiya, folks. You're listening to Two Men in the Mouse, episode 97 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on February 1st, 2016. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name's Kevin Kessler, and I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel. Whoa, you're not Peter Mandel.
I'm not Peter at all.
No.
No, I'm Dimitri Ravanis.
Folks, Pete is here, actually, in Orlando, which is funny because he's here, but he's not here. So... So we had to go with a guest star this week, and so I decided to reach out across the WDPN aisle to the host of the Extra Magic Hour, which you can always listen to here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every single Sunday. And I have brought on a ringer this week, folks. It is Dimitri Ravanis from the Extra Magic Hour. Dimitri!
Kevin, how are you, sir?
I'm very good, thank you very much.
Now, can I refer to you as Kevin, or do I have to refer to you as Mr. Kessler, since you own the WDPN?
We can go with Kevin, Master and Lord of the WDPN universe. Grandmaster is usually the title that I go by, kind of like Yoda.
I don't know that Grandmaster is exactly what you want to go by now that you live in the South.
No, that's a grand... No, that's a different thing. All right. Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney in our lives every day, and we want to share that magic with you. So, pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones. Let's experience the magic together. Dimitri!
Yes'm.
All right, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm very excited to be a part of the show today.
No, I'm super-duper excited to have you. People, you know, I've done... Dimitri has done an episode of Mouselaneous Discussions. I've done an episode... I've done two episodes, I think, of Extra Magic Hour now.
Three, I think, if you count the times you've appeared as a guest.
I appeared as a guest once, and I co-hosted with you once, I thought.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I lump you into Kate's...
Was it my evil twin brother, Devin Kessler? Because...
Devin Dessler, yes, it might have been him.
Yes, because he pops up way too often in my life.
No, I lump...
He's got the handlebar mustache and the top hat. Like, it's a whole bit...
It just ends everything he says with,
yeah.
No, I think I lump Kate's one appearance in with your numbers, because it's all Mouselaneous appearances in my head.
Ah, okay. Don't you ever compare me to Kate Smith again, Dimitri.
I think it's more of an insult to Kate Smith than it is to you, Kevin.
I know, I'm looking out for her. All right, you ready to jump into the news?
Let's do it.
All right, folks. The news this week brought to you, as always, by Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan all your Disney vacation needs at no additional cost to you. And newly, Dave Weikert, Universal Studios expert, I've just learned.
Wow.
Yeah, he's down here this week, actually, looking into, taking some courses on Universal.
So you know, that's how you know Universal is really going hard after Disney. Once they start doing the stuff that the average person does not think of, that's when you realize that a theme park starts to think of itself as a resort now.
Yep. Oh, they're going after Dave Weikert now. What's going to happen next?
They want to get a bunch of travel agencies with references to their company in the name.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, Dave Weikert. We love him here on the show.
Soon to be of Kong fan travel.
Yes. Potter fan. Okay, so we're going to start with the worldwide news, as we like to do here on the show. We are going to go broad, as always. So this is one that's actually near and dear to my heart. Uber with car seats are coming soon to Orlando. So that is, folks, the ride-sharing service Uber. Which basically, if you're not familiar with it, you need a ride from wherever you are. Let's say you're staying off property and you're at Disney Springs or you're at a park. You don't feel like waiting, or even if you just don't feel like waiting for a bus to go back to your resort, it's the end of the night. You go on the app. You say that it pings the nearest Uber driver, who's just a normal guy with a normal car. They come, they pick you up, they drop you off. You pay through the app. No money exchanges between you and the driver, and you know that's it. It's like a fraction of the cost of a taxi cab.
Yeah, you know, Orlando actually has been really good about Uber in a lot of respects, right? They still have the restrictions that an Uber can't come pick you up from MCO, which sucks. But here in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I live, It depends on the week, man. One week they're really good to Uber, and one week they just look for every way possible to screw these poor guys.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of Uber with car seats coming to Orlando. I know they started this about a year ago in New York, and I always thought, like, I don't understand why you would not start this type of service, the car seat service, in Orlando first.
And, you know, this means for me that I need to go buy a car seat, because as of a couple nights ago, I am an Uber driver.
Very good. I can tell you this. You hit up a Walmart or a Target, you can get a good car seat, or a car seat that people feel like they can trust, for less than like $15.
Yeah. Well, I'll see. If there's like a rate hike for it, like if it's more expensive to go with a car seat, I'll go buy a car seat. Because Uber just dropped their the day that I started driving with Uber, they were like, Uber announces 15% down on their their rates. I'm like, oh, great.
You see the Uber drivers of New York took matters into their own hands?
They were picketing. Recently. Folks, if you order Uber, there's a chance that I might be the guy that comes and picks you up, because I typically, like, when I turn on the app, I'll go on to Disney property and just kind of wait, because somebody there always needs a ride somewhere.
I will tell you this, it is a great thing to do if I don't know the right way to say it, but like if you are just doing an adult trip, or if you can find a way to pawn off the kids, whether you take another relative with you or you have friends in town or whatever, and you and your significant other want to go over to World Showcase for dinner and drinks. Right. It's a great thing to do, because it's just easy to walk from World Showcase over to Boardwalk, and Uber will pick you up right there.
Yeah. Yeah, Uber can pick you up at the parks too. They can go right up to the drop off point.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that new, or has that always been?
I think it might be new. I just know that I'm allowed to do it. So.
Oh, you're like a sucker, having walked all the way over to Boardwalk.
Yeah, seriously. Like there's certain, like in certain spots, like at Disney Springs, I think we have to pick you up at the Strawberry Lot, things like that.
Right.
Which I never knew it was called the Strawberry Lot before I picked up somebody there. They were like, "Oh, we're in the Strawberry Lot," and I'm like, "What's the Strawberry Lot?"
All I ever knew is that the new garage was called the Orange Garage, and I assumed that was the color.
I'm assuming the Strawberry Lot is the one parking lot, so I'm just going to go there. So they don't have like an Apple Lot or a Grape Lot. It's just kind of like the Orange Garage or the Strawberry Lot. I met people that I gave a ride to a couple days ago. Where like they're a group of like, you know, 20 somethings, and they're down for the week, and they're just taking Uber everywhere because it's more affordable than renting. It's cheaper to take Uber than to rent a car.
Well, absolutely. I mean, unless you are going with so few people and you need so little in terms of like the space the kids need, that you can rent a car that's like half of a smart car size.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. All right. So moving on with the news. So that's good news. So I'll make an announcement when that is actually when it goes into effect, but they haven't, major addition is coming to ESPN's Wide World of Sports. Disney just they filed for an expansion to the complex. This expansion is going to be a multi-story building that will be 286,000 square feet of space, sitting in a 179,000 square footprint. That's pretty impressive.
That is. I'm trying to think about what makes sense that it would be its everyday use, unless this was like top to bottom courts of some sort, racquetball courts, volleyball courts, because you're not going to put a basketball court in there. Like their serious basketball court is the field house.
Yeah, yeah. And they're building the NBA experience in where Disney Quest is. There's no way that's not going to have a basketball court in it.
Right, but I'm talking about like for the court.
Oh, like for people to actually be like.
Yeah, like the court they're going to use for the college basketball tournament they do in November is still going to be the field house. I would imagine this is going to be a multi-use thing, and it would not surprise me one bit, having lived through this in November, it would not surprise me one bit if part of this structure is dedicated to a safe place for Run Disney runners to go when there is inclement weather.
Oh, that I could see that. I could definitely
because
see that.
It was absolute mayhem the night of Wine and Dine, because they're just not that there wasn't a plan. There just wasn't enough room for all of us to go inside at the same time.
Right. There was some major weather issues during the Wine and Dine, which actually the episode that I did of Dimitri's show Extra Magic Hour, we discussed that incident.
We sure did.
So do you remember which episode number that was by chance?
I don't, but while you talk, I'll pull it up.
Yeah, so there's also going to be a new parking lot that's added. And now, like, I was always, like, before I lived down here, whenever we had, like, a new parking lot story pop up, Pete and I would always be like, yawn, whatever, never use that. Now that I live down here and I drive in consistently, I'm just like, oh, more parking, yes, as many parking spaces as possible.
Right.
Yeah. The also, they announced, thank goodness, they've announced that the Night of Joy will be taking place at the ESPN My World of Sports Complex in 2016, rather than just selling out the Magic Kingdom for the entire night and making it so that nobody can go.
This is what I'm assuming, they're going to be moving the concerts over to Wide World of Sports, right? Because you're not going to have a celebration at Disney World and keep everyone out of the Magic Kingdom.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. When Night of Joy came by, I remember I was ticked because I was in Magic Kingdom that day.
Right.
And I had to leave because of Night of Joy. And I'm like, what? Like, it was not, I wasn't happy. Because you had to leave at like 3, I think it was like early. Like, I don't remember exactly what time, but it was early enough where I was kind of taken aback by it. Like, not so early where it was like, you know, you have to leave at like 7:30 for Not So Scary or Very Merry.
Right.
Like, that's fine. But it was like, it was early, early. To the point where I was like, if I had booked a vacation down here and this was my Magic Kingdom day, I'd be ticked.
Right. Well, you know, that this is a problem that we don't hear about much on the East Coast, but on the West Coast, because there are gigantic sections of California Adventure that are available for corporations to rent out.
Right.
People with annual passes at Disneyland run into this problem a lot.
I would imagine so. I mean, you know, your buddy Kanye West wants to rent out Disneyland for North's birthday, and because that did happen recently.
I expect my invitation.
Yeah. Well, let me know if you get it.
By the way, the episode that Kevin is referencing of the Extra Magic Hour is episode 12, Kevin is Dimitri's new sister.
Yes, I remember that. Okay, so also the Invictus Games will be hosted at Wide World of Sports in 2016 for the first time ever.
Right, this is the it's sort of like the Paralympics for military veterans.
Yes.
This is only the second incarnation of the Games, the first time it's been in the United States, and I assume this construction project probably would not start until long after those games, right?
I'm not sure. Like, I mean, I guess I would kind of. What? When does that usually happen? Do you know what month the Invictus Games are?
I looked it up earlier. I think the 2014 games, which were held in London, mm-hmm. were in August, I think.
Probably, yeah. That probably won't be, yeah.
You know, look, this is going to sound crass, but I do think it is worth talking about when you're talking about a construction project. There is a lot that Disney is going to have to do to make the playing surfaces wheelchair and handicapped accessible. I don't think they want to take up any more space in that complex and make things tougher to
right.
move around.
No, I agree.
During the Invictus Games.
I agree.
And again, I don't mean for that to sound crass.
No,
I just,
no, not
I think
at all.
Got to think about the logistics of it all.
Absolutely. The Disney World's website is now also allowing you to make reservation changes for dining, which that's a big thing because before you couldn't make changes on the website. You had to either call or just cancel your reservation and remake it to make a change.
Right. You know, my sister Anne, who is my usual co-host on the Extra Magic Hour, she's been taking a little bit of a leave here these last few weeks. So, Kat, has been filling in. For Annie, she and I were talking about this on the newest episode of the Extra Magic Hour this week, and this is not only an advantageous change for guests. I don't understand why this was not something Disney wanted to do for them a long time ago.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, at the very least, it would save a lot of
hold
very
time.
Uncomfortable confrontations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea. No Disney Springs news this week, but we do have some resort news. There's some closures going on at Disney's Boardwalk currently.
I saw this the other day.
Yeah, as of today, actually, February 1st, Seashore Suites, which was the saltwater taffy shop that I loved there,
yeah,
that closed down. The Yard Arcade and the ESPN retail store that's between the ESPN Club and Boardwalk Bakery all closed down. No replacements have yet been announced, but they've also announced that the Flying Fish Cafe is already, I believe, under a major, major refurbishment.
Well, the whole boardwalk itself is undergoing a refurbishment, and it's not major, right? It's just this is the time of year they repaint and
right.
And you know, fix shutters here and there. But yeah, I mean, these, especially to me, the biggest surprise is Seashore Suites. The ESPN retail store is not a big surprise because now that stuff is everywhere in the parks.
Right, and they've been closing arcades in the parks like crazy lately.
Well, yeah, because what kids now even know about arcades.
That's a good point.
Right. I mean, going to an arcade when my mother would take Ann and I, that was like a part of my vacation. That was like a planned part of a Disney trip. Now right. I don't know how many kids think about it from day to day.
Well, because now everyone's got a 3DS or they're playing on their smartphone. So, you know, arcade right. games are really just kind of passe. Like nowadays, the only arcades that you see outside of theme parks and things like that are like retro arcades that are made right. for like people our age. Like right. Over by Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash in Red Bank, New Jersey, right down the street from it is a place, I think it was called Yestercades, mm-hmm. that I used to go to, and it had all like old school like arcade games, like Paperboy arcade game and like all sorts of like really old stuff and old like video game systems and like Nintendo and Super Nintendo, like right. so that's kind of like where you're seeing the arcade industry go, and that's valuable real estate for Disney.
Yeah, and that's there are three of those kind of they're called barcades.
Yeah, we have there's a barcade in New Jersey too.
Yeah, I mean there are three of them in downtown Raleigh, and you know it's so funny the couple times I've been into the one I think is called Boxcar, I think is the name of the one I've been into. It's so funny because it reminds me of going to Aladdin's Arcade in Springdale Mall in Mobile, Alabama, mm-hmm. when I was a kid, because inevitably there are lines 3 and 4 people deep for two games, Mortal Kombat and NBA Jam, and it takes me right back to being 11 years old again.
Yeah, my all-time favorite arcade games, there was an X-Men arcade game.
Oh, dude, you don't have to tell me about the X-Men arcade game.
Oh, it was amazing. But I always loved to be Cyclops because I'm that kid. And right. Cyclops was all the way up in the upper left-hand corner, and you couldn't actually see the screen without leaning in front of the person to your right.
Right. I was a Nightcrawler kind of gal myself.
Yeah. The other one, I'm sure you know this one. It was the most, in my opinion, the most classic arcade game of all time, The Simpsons arcade game.
The Simpsons,
game.
Of course.
I have them both on my Xbox 360 because they made them available to buy.
Right.
And I'm like, I can finally beat this game.
Yeah, the Simpsons arcade game would be in my top two right alongside NBA Jam, the arcade version. The versions that came out later for Genesis and Super Nintendo were great, but the arcade version had special modes that they never released for the home versions.
Was that He's on Fire?
He's on Fire. And see, in the arcade version, if your guy, that was after one guy, same player, made 3 shots in a row.
Yeah.
If you made 15 in a row, you went from On Fire to Splash, and like a tidal wave came out of the basket every time
you
hit a basket. But you have to keep scoring with the same guy and keep getting stops on the opponent. It almost never happened.
Yeah. Actually, when I used to do pro wrestling commentary, I used to, if a guy, like when the babyface would start his hot comeback and he'd like bump the, if he would bump the guy 3 times in a row, I would yell, "He's on fire."
He's on fire. Sure. After 2 times, if you ever do it again, after 2 times, you got to start with the "He's heating up."
Yep. okay, so no Magic Kingdom news, no water park news, other than the water parks have just been in a constant state of closure lately because it's been so cold. Epcot news. So Flower and Garden is on the horizon. We are about a month and a day away from it. It opens up on March 2nd. March 2nd. So 2 new outdoor kiosks have been announced. And this is time for everyone's favorite part of the show, where Kevin tries to pronounce words that aren't English. La Isla Fresca. It's going to be Jamaican braised beef with pigeon pea rice and jerk spiced grouper, or chicken with mango salad. Do you love the way that Flower and Garden has kind of turned into a mini Food and Wine?
You know, we talked about this this week on the Extra Magic Hour. I don't mind it in the sense that, like, you think about the beer garden, right, was sort of started at Flower and Garden to showcase Florida citrus.
Correct.
And in that way, I guess it sort of does what Flower and Garden was supposed to do, right, like showcase the Florida agriculture industry.
Right.
But it feels like there's already a spot for that kind of stuff. And I might be alone here. I would rather have more room for topiaries and let those people show off their skills.
Because I feel like that's what you're supposed to see at Flower and Garden, you know? But, I mean, on the other hand, as a local, I think Flower and Garden is going to have it's going to be an opportunity to go to a Food and Wine type event that hopefully is not as insane as actual Food and Wine was this year.
Well, yeah, because the focus is not on the food and drink, or at least it's usually not. You know, the thing is that for Flower and Garden, with it being a mini Food and Wine, The problems that I've seen in the past is you are talking about double or triple the weights that you are of Food and Wine because there are fewer options now.
Right. You at Food and Wine, you could literally not move.
Oh, yeah.
It was the most – I've never been for New Year's Eve, but I know New Year's Eve is worse. But, like, you literally could not move at Food and Wine.
Food and Wine, for people that are ever planning a trip like to come to Florida for Food and Wine – you do Epcot during the day in the middle of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the only way you're getting more than two or three kiosks in for Food and Wine.
So the other kiosk coming to Flower and Garden is the Cider House, which is going to be a field green salad with everything grown in the land pavilion, which I like. It's going to be heirloom apples, Stilton cheese, and dried blueberries. That brings the number of food kiosks up to 13.
Well, very good. Now, this is, I think, the question that everybody wants to know regarding the Cider House is, will Tobey Maguire and Michael Caine be there?
No word on that as of yet, but I'll thank you to stay out of my personal affairs there, Dimitri. That's my Sir Michael Caine.
Have you ever heard Kevin Pollak's description of a Michael Caine impersonation?
No.
The best way to nail it is start by just saying his name.
Michael Caine. Yeah.
And then from there you go on.
This cronut is the size of a tangerine.
Michael Caine.
Flower and Garden is March 2nd to May 30th, and it moved, so more days added this year. Last year it was 75 days, this year it is 90 days.
Three full months. So at this point, Epcot is going to be in celebration mode, I think, more days a year than it will not now.
Really?
I think so, because I believe, if I remember correctly, I believe Food and Wine is getting an extension next year as well.
Yeah, it has to.
Or in 2016,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah, it has to. So, yeah, I mean, that would make it, like, over half the year it would be doing a celebration, because this is 3 months, and then that would be over 3 months, probably.
Yep.
Wow, that's pretty insane. And I'm shocked they don't make, like, Food and Wine, like, 10 months out of the year with how successful it was.
You know, it's crazy, right? Like, they have done, I think, everything they possibly can short of making Food and Wine just an everyday part of Epcot when you think about the food trucks in Disney Springs and the way now you sort of get served at the kiosks away from the actual buildings in World Showcase. Like, they know they've got a winner there. They're just trying to figure out the balance of completely maximizing profits and not diminishing it as a special thing.
Now, I want to report on a rumor, something I've heard from inside sources.
Walt Disney's head is cryogenically frozen?
Yes. This is completely unconfirmed, but it does come from sources within Walt Disney World. And it's breaking news here on Two Men and the Mouse. That is there may be a snack booth themed finally coming to the Canada Pavilion.
Really?
Yes.
This is the thing, too, about the Canada Pavilion. Like, you see this every year at Food and Wine. The stuff they serve at Food and Wine at the Canada Pavilion is not exactly walk-around snacks.
No, it's filet mignon and soup and, you know,
right.
and sausages. But, from what I have heard, it'll be the refreshment port is going to be retooled to fit the Canada theme. So you'll still be able to get the cronut there, but you'll also be able to get a maple syrup flavored cronut, which sounds delightful.
La-di-da. You throw a little bacon on top of that. Maple bacon bar never did anybody wrong.
No, absolutely not. But the major takeaway that I had heard from it was poutine.
Ooh. A
little poutinery there.
I always have felt like Disney has been a little bit hesitant to go full on poutine in Canada.
They have. And I think it was because for a while, actually, it was because they used to do the beaver tails there. And the beaver tails are like deep fried pastry. And one of the workers in the Canada Pavilion, when I was asking about it, they actually said that the main reason why I think they don't have poutine is because the reason the beaver tails were gone is also because there was some kind of Florida regulation about you couldn't have a deep fryer in a snack stand like that or something like that. But I don't know, maybe they got over it. Listen, if you go to the any county fair at New Jersey, they have deep fryers in far less dangerous places than inside a permanent structure.
Right, you go to county fairs in the South, they have deep fryers inside of running automobiles.
there's deep fryers inside a baby's crib. So, you know, if that turns out to be true, folks, you heard it here on Two Men and the Mouse first. Okay, so DAC news, Disney's Animal Kingdom, the site of my owl assault from last week. Did you hear about that?
I did not. Tell me.
I mean, I told the story on the show last week, so I won't go too far into it. Short version of the story, I was watching Flights of Wonder. The owl swooped in over the crowd, and he hit me right in the head.
Oh, you posted a photo of this,
a video,
right?
Actually.
A video, yeah.
The Boneyard is closing for a refurbishment for a couple weeks, a little less than a month. February.
How do you refurbish a sandbox?
I don't know. Maybe they're maybe they're refurbishing the bones that are inside of it.
Must be.
It closes from February 22nd to March 18th. Now, you've got kids. Do they ever go to the Boneyard?
Yes, they do like the Boneyard, and in fact, it is kind of the only thing that takes us over to Dinoland USA, because neither my wife and I are big fans of the ride Dinosaur.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of the only thing that takes us over to Dinoland USA, that and I guess the Finding Nemo musical.
Why don't you like Dinosaur?
I get scared.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm a big wuss.
All right.
I just don't like things jumping out at me.
They do quite a bit on that ride. So
that's right. Like the ride system itself, like I love Temple of the Forbidden Eye out in California, which
is the same thing, right?
The exact same ride system. Right, it's just the things jumping out at me. I don't need that sort of nonsense.
All right, I get that. All right, so finally, Disney's Hollywood Studios news, sponsored by thecookandwookie.com, which is your one-stop blog for all your recipe needs to dazzle your guests at your next dinner party. That is thecookinwookie.com, thecookandwookie.com. All right, so this new upcoming Disneyland ABC special will be highlighting what is coming to Star Wars Land in both Disneyland Resort and Walt Disney World.
This is very exciting.
Very, very exciting. I mean, February 21st at 8 p.m. on ABC. It's going to be part of the Wonderful World of Disney, Disneyland 60. First of all, anytime there's a Wonderful World of Disney special, I love it because it's such a throwback to back when we had a Wonderful World of Disney every week.
Right. I really like what they decided to do here, which is, you know, we're pretty far removed from the actual 60th anniversary of Disneyland, but the actual 60th anniversary of Disneyland falls during football season.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to do a primetime special, you wouldn't do it on Sunday. Nope. Well, that, you know, if you're going to do that, that sort of loses the part of the appeal of what the Wonderful World of Disney was, right?
Certainly.
Like, it was a Sunday night thing.
Yeah. Absolutely, and I'm glad they didn't sacrifice that for, and they just kind of held off a little bit. But now, also, I think part of it was they wanted to wait until after Episode 7 came out,
right?
And excitement was at its zenith because the host of the Star Wars Land section of this special will be none other than Harrison Ford, Han Solo.
Ooh,
yeah,
this will be great.
I cannot wait to hear him mumble at me about what's coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios.
More importantly, I can't wait to see what sort of hijinks he gets into in Episode 8. Am I right?
Yes. Certainly.
is there something I should know about?
No, nothing. Nothing. Just, you know, I can't wait to be coming to the Hollywood the ride and chewy.
Did he just say GD? Right, that's the way I always feel whenever he goes into mumble mode as Han Solo.
He's not even like he doesn't even do it when he's Han Solo. It's when he does interviews, when he's just being Harrison Ford.
Right.
Dr. Indiana Jones, Henry Jones Jr., if you will, and Han Solo and the president from Air Force One. Like, they can all speak correctly.
Sure,
but it's whenever like a reporter comes up to him and is like, "Mr. Ford, how do you feel about this?" Well, I never made a movie. Get off my plane. Yeah, like that. That's just kind of his resting mode is just mumble.
Do you want to hear my all time favorite Harrison Ford joke?
Yeah.
How old will Harrison Ford be on his next birthday?
How old?
One more year too old to have an earring.
him and Michael Bolton kind of like make that club up. All right, that's the news for this week.
Hooray!
Yes. All right, folks, so we are going to take a quick commercial break. We will hear from our wonderful sponsors and the rest of the White Dragon Podcast Network, and then we will be right back with our e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned. More Two Men and the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course. your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier, makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
You give them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weikert autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weikert.
Depends how his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. Do you want to embrace the inner gourmet in your life? Do you tire of a life of hot dogs, ramen noodles, and Pop-Tarts? Do you long to wow your loved ones with homemade delicious meals and chuck that kid cuisine in the trash? Well, good thing we've got thecookinwookie.com. The Cookin' Wookie is a food and recipe blog designed to walk you through recipes that will dazzle your dinner table. Tim Elbing is our Wookie host, and he will take you on a culinary journey that will make you and all of your dinner guests thankful at your next Life Day feast. So let the Wookie win your loyalty, folks, and head over to thecookinwookie.com. That's thecookinwookie.com. Fire up your oven, and may the forks be with you.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Do you like the Disney parks? I do too. So does my little sister. That's why we started a podcast about them. Hi, I'm Dimitri Ravanis. The name of our show is The Extra Magic Hour. You can hear new episodes each and every Thursday here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. You can also find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Now, in addition to telling you what we love about the parks and doling out some news and tips, we'll do something a little different. We'll tell you what we hate about the parks, where the mouse can improve, and we'll do some fighting. Well, not fighting. We call it friendly debate. Things that Disney fans have been debating and arguing about forever and ever. You'll hear them played out in real time between a brother and a sister every Thursday right here on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Folks, Walt Disney World is a great place to
to indulge in adult beverages. While Disney is a wonderful place for kids, sometimes the only way we as adults are able to get through it, especially some of those of us that have kids, is to imbibe in the occasional adult beverage. My normal co-host, Peter Mandel, has never touched a drop of alcohol in his life. That is why I always thought we were...
la-dee-da.
I know. He just lords it over everybody. But now with Pete not here this week, I wanted to be able to do something that I'd never be able to do if he was here. So that is why for our e-ticket attraction of the week, Dimitri and I are going to be counting down the top 10 bars and lounges in Walt Disney World. This was a fun list to come up with.
Indeed it was. Now, I will come clean here and say it's been a long time since I've had a drink at Disney World, because once I started running, I gave up the devil water.
You gave it up to make your running easier?
Well, I gave it up because my attitude was, if I'm doing all this exercise, I'm going to make it count and hopefully lose some weight. And if I'm trying to lose weight, every single calorie I take in is going to be either deep fried or chocolate. And alcohol does not fall under either of those categories.
Gotcha. Well, you know, while you talk about your empty calories, we're just going to sit here and crack open this beer here.
Please. I think you've earned it.
Yes. all right. So, you know, there are so many wonderful places to go and have a few drinks at Walt Disney World. I mean, World Showcase as a whole is just a wonderful place to go for that. But we're talking about specific bars here, specific, you know, like beer carts and things like that. Those are excluded from this. We wanted an actual place where you can go and sit down and have a beverage, because like... Yeah, otherwise it would just be all these, like, the Canada cart or the Germany cart, so...
Right, and in fact, I think Imagineering does its best work in lounges outside of World Showcase.
I agree. Absolutely, I agree.
All right, well...
I actually think only two of our top ten are World Showcase.
Yeah, and before we even jump into it, I'm guessing the listeners could figure out which two we're going with.
Probably.
In World Showcase. But let's get to it.
Yeah. All right. So number 10. This is number 10, mostly because, and this happens sometimes on Two Men and the Mouse top 10 lists. Neither Dimitri nor I have ever actually been to this one.
But neither of us have ever heard a bad thing about it.
Yeah. Everyone that I know that speaks of it speaks incredibly highly of it. And I know a lot of cast members like to go to it because they get really good discounts there.
Mm-hmm.
That is Splitsville in Disney Springs.
And, you know, the thing that complements... the bar menu is they have a pretty extensive food menu, and the reputation of Splitsville is nothing is ever going to, like, you're never going to say that is the best burger I've ever had or the best sushi I've ever had or, you know, the best pizza, but none of it is bad.
Yeah. And they always have, like, on the outside bar, the exterior area right outside the movie theater, they've always got some live music playing, usually some soft, like an acoustic guitar player.
Right.
Yeah. You know, but every time I walk by, because you have to, when you come in from the parking garage, you have to walk by Splitsville. Or if you're going to see a movie, it's right next to Splitsville. So I hear them a lot, and great music. It really just seems like a fun atmosphere. And who doesn't want to, you know, imbibe alcohol and then throw a big heavy ball at some pins?
I will also tell you that Splitsville is probably going to become my go-to place, because we tend to make a family trip every year during football season. Uh-huh. And during football season, I'm not going to not be watching games on Saturdays.
Right.
And for as much as it is the go-to place to watch football for a lot of people, it's miserable to watch games at the ESPN zone or the ESPN club. So I would imagine Splitsville is probably going to replace that for me.
Is it miserable to watch it there?
Miserable because that's the only place that's the first place everybody's mind goes to.
Right.
So unless your team is playing one of the big national games, and, you know, fortunately, having gone to the University of Alabama, they usually are playing one of the big national games.
Right.
Good luck getting a TV you can actually see tuned to the game you want.
Gotcha. All right. So number 9, actually, we're not leaving Disney Springs yet, because number 9 is actually one of the newest offerings at Disney Springs, and it is the Boathouse.
You know, the reason I put this at number 9, and I really think it belongs on the list, is because, you know, I guess breaking your heart if you've not gotten to go to the Boathouse yet, I genuinely believe the bar is the only good thing about the Boathouse.
I would agree with that.
I mean, the food is overpriced and it's not great, but the bar sits in this beautiful area in front of these gigantic windows, and you just get this great view of the lake and of Saratoga Springs across the way. So I definitely think for aesthetics alone, the bar at the Boathouse is worth it.
Absolutely. I would agree with you 100% on that and on everything. I also like, they also have a cold seafood bar. I know it's not the kind of bar we're talking about, but I like, I like that bar as well.
Hey, a bar's a bar, right?
You know, it's funny, like, I was playing a game with someone the other day. It's I'd love to do it on this show, but it was invented on another. It was invented on the Be Our Guest podcast, so I feel like I'd be ripping them off. They give you a, you have three guesses to guess the restaurant. They start off with an appetizer, and then you guess, then an entree, and then a dessert. And I was playing with someone, and they were shocked that I got the Boathouse. And I said, "You don't understand. Everyone I go to Disney Springs with always wants to stop and read the menu for the Boathouse.
Right.
So I will inevitably stand there and read the menu and meander inside and look at the seafood bar."
Right. You know, that's a very good point. And, you know, the things that sort of highlight just how good the bar is at the Boathouse in comparison to the rest of the Boathouse. We talked about how overpriced the menu is. The place, I don't know, to me, it's one of those places where it looks nice and new and shiny and polished right now, but that wood interior is going to age poorly.
It will, yes, it will. And then, but you know what? It's also in a prime location. You know,
sure.
It's right at the end. It's right at a corner where two streets are coming together. And you've got the boat launch right next to it with those boats that look like classic 50s cars.
Yeah, the aqua cars. Those are and those are pretty cool. Like, that adds to the experience of being at the bar when an aqua car is in the water.
Yeah. And you know what? A lot of times I don't know how many people actually go out in the aqua cars because it is ludicrously priced.
Not only that, they're usually only running one or two during a given time span. So if you want to do it, chances are you're going to be waiting behind three or four families.
Right. But I see a bunch of times just the pilots, the captains, just kind of like taking them out with no one in them.
Right.
To draw up interest. But
right.
I want to say it's like $130 to go out on one of those.
Wow. Yeah. My kids really want to do it.
It was well over $100. Like, so much so where I was like, that is not worth it.
That is insane. Yeah, my kids really want to do it. I keep trying to steer them towards the hot air balloon instead.
Yeah.
No takers so far.
No, that's only $18 to do.
Right.
So, but yeah, so Boathouse, number nine. Number eight, we're going to a resort on this one. And this has been one of my favorites for a very, very long time, mostly because of their signature beverage, but also because of the convenience factor, and that is the Tambu Lounge at the Disney's Polynesian Village Resort.
To me, more than any other, at least monorail hotel, this feels like the lounge that you have to go to if you are at that resort. So if you're at the Polynesian Resort and you don't make a stop at the Tambu Lounge, especially if you're going there to eat and drink, it feels like you've wasted an opportunity.
Right. I mean, it's not like super themed. It's just kind of like a bar that sits outside of Ohana. But
right.
Everybody wants the Lapu Lapu. That is the drink that's served in a hollowed out pineapple, and it is absolutely wonderful.
Well, and I mean, you hit the convenience thing too. Is it sits outside of Ohana? It sits right across from Kona Cafe. This is a place where you can strike up conversations with people from all over because everybody is stopping for a drink there while they're waiting.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, and that is the convenience factor of just being able to, and also when you're in Ohana, I believe you can order from the Tambu Lounge.
I think that is correct. Yeah,
so I remember I know that I had a Lapu Lapu in Ohana, and I don't believe I walked in with it. So
right.
So, and I know a lot of people that were commenting on the questions that we asked over on the Facebook discussion group, which is facebook.com/group/2menandthemouse, we're saying Tambu Lounge. It is a very beloved option.
Well, a lot of people are saying Tambu Lounge, except for Meg Veg, who says Tambu with multiple U's.
Yes, multiple U's. all right, so number seven is one that Dimitri has been to, but I have not. So I'm going to kind of let him take the lead on that one. That is the River Roost Lounge.
The River Roost Lounge is inside of Port Orleans Riverside. And what I like about this one is if mom and dad want to have a drink, there is a lot going on to entertain the kids, whether it is, and usually it is the ragtime piano players that are great in terms of interacting with people in the crowd. In fact, I would tell you, and I cannot say this is for sure the case, but it feels like every time we've stayed at Riverside, and I think my family has done it now four times in the last 5 years, we always run into at the bus stop an older guest that talked about skipping going into the park one night to sit and watch the piano player.
Is that Yeehaw Bob?
Lounge. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody loves Yeehaw Bob. I always hear. Have you stayed at Port Orleans a lot?
Yeah, actually both of them. Those are kind of our two go-tos.
That's awesome. I've always wanted to stay at Riverside. I never really had a desire to stay at French Quarter.
I like French Quarter because it does a really good job of going somewhere between what the Gulf Coast actually looks like at Mardi Gras and Disney over the top.
Right.
Thematics. But of the two, I prefer Riverside.
Okay. Yeah, so you know what? Yeehaw Bob, everyone tells me to go see Yeehaw Bob.
Yeah.
And they also always tell me to get Yeehaw Bob on the show. But I always say, I'm not going to have Yeehaw Bob on the show until I can actually go see Yeehaw Bob.
Well, and also to really enjoy Yeehaw Bob, you need to figure out a way to mic up his piano.
Oh, really? It's not mic'd?
Well, no. What I'm saying is,
to have him on the show, right?
I can't imagine he's a super interesting guy outside of
playing piano.
Yeah.
It'll be like when Howard Stern had Billy Joel on, only it'll be me and Yeehaw Bob.
Right. You won't have the love for Yeehaw Bob that Howard Stern had for Billy Joel.
Probably not.
Right.
Hey, he played the Downeaster Alexa live in studio. okay, so the number six, we're going to World Showcase for the first time here. Number six is pretty much a classic. It's one of those, like, you have to have this on your list kind of things. And that is the Rose and Crown Pub in the UK Pavilion.
Now, I will say this. For me, this makes the list because I'm not a big fan of Irish beers.
Me neither. I find them to be like a little too bitter or a little too dark for me.
Right.
I don't
right.
even like Guinness, to be perfectly honest.
No, I'm right there with you. I'm actually not a huge beer guy at all. But they do have a nice whiskey selection here. And on top of that, the English Bulldog. If you have the opportunity, try this thing. It is a...
Yeah, it's a hot dog, right? Take us through that.
It is. It's a banger. So a traditional Irish sausage stuffed with mashed potatoes, topped with bacon and Irish cheddar, and a spicy mustard.
Oh, that sounds like heaven.
Yeah, it is heaven. I've had it one time quite some time ago, talking about it now.
Were you sitting at a table for that, or were you able to get that at the bar?
I believe sitting at a table because it's a pretty sizable thing.
Right. It sounds like it's a sizable thing. So it's so it's a split open banger and they stuff it with the potatoes and.
Right. And I think you can get it at the bar, but it's one of those where you don't want to go to the walk up window to get it because you're going to be negotiating the streets.
Right.
At quite the disadvantage.
Yeah, I've only been in Rose and Crown Pub one time and I actually don't even think I had a drink. Like I'm the kind of guy that goes into a place like that and gets a Bud Light. So.
Right.
When it comes to beer, my brother is the ultimate beer connoisseur. Like I took him through Food and Wine,
right?
And like he went nuts, and he gave me a sip of like all of the 15 beers that he had that night, and I hated almost every single one.
Excuse me.
Yeah, the only strange beer that I enjoy is the grapefruit beer in Germany.
Tastes like candy.
It does. It definitely does. You know, and if beer carts were allowed on this list, you know that would be on it.
Sure.
That beer cart. And obviously, you know, my heart belongs to the beer cart in Canada. It's a stop for me on almost every Epcot trip.
Now, you'll notice, speaking of that, you'll notice that Oktoberfest did not make this list.
No, it didn't.
So there you go.
Yeah.
By the way, spoiler alert, everyone.
Yeah. They're just sitting, that way nobody's sitting here waiting for it. Number five is our other World Showcase offering, and that is over in the Mexico Pavilion, and we're going over to La Cava del Tequila.
Now, I think there are a lot of people that are going to think that this is way too low on our list.
For me, it's pretty beloved.
It is. For me, I'm not a tequila guy, but I do like the aesthetics of this place. This is a very, just a good-looking pub and
yeah,
bar.
I like it a lot. It's far off enough to the side and like pushed enough in the corner where there's not usually a crowd inside of it.
Right, right. And also, it's when there is a crowd inside of it, it does not bleed over into the Mexico Pavilion in a way that makes it unpleasant for those of us walking through with kids.
Right. I really like it because I like margaritas, but the wait staff in there is wonderful because they will typically let you try things.
Right.
Like, I remember they gave me an avocado margarita to try. Like, it gave it to me like a little shot glass, like a sample. And yeah. I was like, there's no way I'm going to like this. And I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah. Huh.
So,
but to me, avocado has always tasted like iced tea. So I would imagine an avocado margarita
tea?
Would not
really?
Be a bad thing. Yeah.
Never thought that before.
I don't know. It's always tasted like edible iced tea to me.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, those so number four is another Dimitri has been there, but Kevin has not. And that is Crockett's. And now you said this was an interesting one.
Yeah, to me, there are two things I like about Crockett's. Number one, it's in Fort Wilderness, and it's right outside of Trails End, the buffet there. And it's largely an outside kind of thing where the bar is inside. There is an area you can sit down inside. But the real appeal for me of Crockett's is to sit on the picnic tables right outside the service window and just listen to the waves roll up underneath the pier there. This has a very like personal sort of thing for me because the only time that I've ever stayed at the cabins at Fort Wilderness was in 2013.
Right.
And we were going down there. One of my best friends is from Orlando originally, and he was getting married down there. And they asked me, he and his wife asked me to be the officiant at their wedding. And so I actually wrote their ceremony with a crown and Coke. in my hand, sitting at those picnic tables, just listening to the waves and waxing poetic about love.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean it's just cool a anecdote. Really nice, very. It's a very peaceful place too.
Right, like if you're one of those few people out there who have never drank there while writing a officiant letter for one of Dimitri's friends,
you just won't get it.
But I'm sure it's still enjoyable for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a peaceful atmosphere.
It's look, and to go like modern with it too, it is one of the best, and now this has changed obviously, but at the time it was one of the very best public access or public internet access areas in the entire resort.
Right.
So it became the sort of gathering place for a lot of people too.
That's awesome. So now our number, so as is usually the case with these top 10 lists, our 3, 2, and 1, you could have interchanged them in any way, shape, or form. I could make an argument for all three of these to be number one, but I'm happy with what we have.
Okay.
All right. So number three is actually the only one on our list that Kevin has been there, but Dimitri has not. That is the Top of the World Lounge at Bay Lake Tower, at the Bay Lake Tower at the Contemporary. So I need to. I actually was just there the other night for the first time, and I need to thank a good friend of mine was in town who also listens to the show, Jason Odegaard, and he's a DVC member. And the thing about the Top of the World Lounge is it is exclusive for DVC members. So he actually brought me up as his guest, and it was absolutely spectacular. It's a small lounge. Like when it comes time to like right around wishes time, it gets really crowded. It gets hard to find a seat. We happened to be lucky enough to find a table, It's the top of the world. It is at the top of Bay Lake Tower.
Yeah.
And it gives you a stunning aerial view of the Magic Kingdom.
360?
Well, no, it's the 360 degree. The 360 degree view would be like it goes all the way around. But if you go to the other side, you're looking at.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean of Magic Kingdom. I mean, do you like get the entire monorail loop?
Yeah. I believe you can.
Yeah.
But the. Watching the fireworks from there, they dub in the sound, obviously, as they love to do. And,
right.
I mean, it was just such a cool experience. I do have a video of it. I've held off on posting it because I wanted to talk about it on the show first. But when this drops tomorrow, I will upload some photos and the video of that to our Facebook discussion group. But,
you know, one of the knocks, and really the only knock I've ever heard against the Top of the World Lounge, is that come that time that you really want to take advantage of an exclusive lounge, the lounge aspect of it kind of goes away because kids are allowed in for that.
Yes, kids are allowed in for the fireworks, and I was a little taken aback by that because I was like, oh my gosh, like we're doing shots of tequila and there are children running around.
Right, exactly, and like I have two kids. I love kids. I love talking to kids and getting their what's the right word for it? Just their nonsensical view,
right?
Views on. But that's not something I'm looking for when it comes to an exclusive lounge.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I really enjoyed it. We also ate, the food there was good too. I mean, it's bar food, but it's good bar food. Like I had pulled pork sliders with coleslaw on them; it was excellent. Jason had the nachos and guacamole, and that was really good too. I mean, really, and it's also one of the few places on property outside of Epcot, I think probably the only place on property outside of Epcot, unless I'm mistaken, where you can get the grapefruit beer.
Ah, very good.
I did. I had two of them while I was up there.
They know how to treat people right. They know how to treat their DVC members right.
Exactly. So I'm not saying it's worth the DVC membership, right. But it's worth the DVC membership, especially when they open up the DVC lounge at the Imagination Pavilion.
Right.
Because I can't wait to see that either.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what they do. I believe there's a DVC lounge in Polynesian Village now, too, right?
I believe there is.
Like, and it's one of those that's super duper small and has a nice view of the castle from across Bay Lake, right? Or Seven Seas Lagoon. Seven Seas Lagoon. Yeah. No,
Seven Seas Lagoon is the man-made one that overlooks the Magic Kingdom. Bay Lake is the one where everything is shut down. There's a former mini Animal Kingdom and a former water park where you could get an amoeba to take home with you, to stay with you forever. An amoeba and a tapeworm all in one location.
Right. As, I think it was our second episode we had on one of these urban explorers that had swam across to Discovery Island.
Yeah.
The old Discovery Island. And
before he realized that there were alligators in there.
That was the point. He said, you know, before I stopped and thought, you know, this is a body of water in Florida, of course it has amoebas and alligators all over the place.
Right. What did he find? Like, I listened to this episode a long time ago, but I don't, like...
Yeah.
Like, what did he find in Discovery Island? It's just a lot, like, are the places, like, still, like, kiosks and stuff still there?
Yeah, a lot of it's still there. Like he said, it looks like they left clearly thinking they were coming back one day.
Oh, okay.
And that while he couldn't say for sure that the monkeys on the island were not, he couldn't say for sure that they were not wild, that they had just been abandoned there. Because I don't know if you know this, there are parts of Florida where monkeys are wild, and it all stems back from one of the Tarzan movies that was filmed
really?
There. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so there are monkeys on Discovery Island?
There are monkeys on Discovery Island. He said there are a lot of birds on Discovery Island. And he said he thinks just because of how ornate some of these birds were left behind.
Okay.
Well,
I mean, they're birds. They can handle it.
Right. He said, you know, the thing that you really notice is there is, like, years later, and they, I think, did this in 2008, I think.
Okay.
And so even then, 2008, you're talking about, like, 14 years, 13 years since Discovery Island was open.
Right.
He said what you'll notice is there are a lot of half-drunk Diet Cokes. There are notes with to-do lists for tomorrow sitting there.
Really?
You know, clearly these people thought they were coming back at some point.
Wow, that's it. I was telling someone about Discovery Island earlier, and I was just kind of like, you know, once Animal Kingdom opened, there was no need for it anymore.
Right, yeah, that's exactly the case. And I think even before Animal Kingdom, I don't think... I could be wrong about this. This is me speculating. I don't think enough people went there to justify the cost of operating it.
Did you ever go there when it was open?
No, I remember one year staying at it must have been Wilderness Lodge. I remember staying at Wilderness Lodge and for the first time being able to be close enough to see the activity.
Right.
Going on the island, but never went there myself.
Was there a separate admission for Discovery Island?
I can't remember what it was, but it was priced like a water park is now.
Right. And then would you take a boat over from the Wilderness Lodge?
You would actually get on the boat from Fort Wilderness because the launch was, I guess when it was open, the launch was a part of River Country.
Oh, very, very interesting.
Yeah. It's like this whole piece of history just closed in one fell swoop with River Country and Discovery Island.
Yeah, like that entire, like all of Bay Lake. But, you know, like Bay Lake is also where you go. You see the people parasailing. You see them water skiing. So it still does see some action, but not nearly as much as it used to. It's just kind of
right. Well, you know, like you don't see water skiing as much anymore. And to your point, like you see people parasailing. You can rent the little like putter around boats, but it's all stuff that does not actually put anyone in the water.
Right. that's so. I think I need to go back and re-listen to that episode that you guys did with that guy because it's such an interesting story.
Yeah, it was, and it's so funny to listen to this guy talk. And to him, it's no big deal because he's gone on all kinds of these sorts of.
Right, but he waited to release that. Like he took video and stuff, right?
Yeah, waited 4 years.
That's to release statute of limitations.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
They can't even ban him for life for doing that.
I mean, I guess they could, but, you know, he was making the point that he didn't grow up a Disney fan. He just happened to be living in Tampa at this time, and right. other people in the Urban Explorer community told him that they had tried and failed. And so that
really,
was
really tried and failed because, like, what, like Disney came and, like, scooped him out of the water? Or
I don't know if Disney came and scooped him out of the water. It's just like at this time, it was very hit or miss. And these were his words, not mine. It was very hit or miss on whether or not there were security patrols at that part of the closed down river country.
Interesting. But, like, they couldn't legally do anything to him after 4 years then.
Right. And, you know, his point was, even if I got banned, you know, it, to me, the reason for doing this was because my friends could not do it, not because
right.
I'm a Disney fan and I had to see it.
Right. You know, it's funny because, you know, you mentioned, like, how he waited all that time. There's a girl who, a YouTube blogger, who broke into River Country
mm-hmm.
and videoed and did a whole YouTube blog about it. And she released it, like, right away, went to go use her annual pass at the parks, like, the next week, and she got the blue light of doom.
Oh, dear.
And found out, no, she was banned for life.
Wow.
So they've been using the ban for life a lot lately. Have you noticed that?
Well, sure. You can't just go around making accusations about building meth labs in your hotel room and not
right,
expect
or,
some sort of consequence.
Or climbing up Mexican, climbing up Mexican pyramids like a drunken King Kong. yeah, you know, I think it's less that, like, Disney is being, like, brutal on people, and it's more that people are doing more stupid things now than they've ever done before. The
you
meth lab thing, I think was ridiculous.
It was blown out of proportion, but at the same time,
I can't believe they banned that guy for life. Like, I was pissed at Disney for that.
I can't believe they banned him for life. But I also, like, what was the guy trying to accomplish, right?
I think sometimes when you're in the moment like that, you just kind of start, like, making outlandish things. Like, I could see myself being like, I could have summoned the hounds of hell in the time it took you guys to get here. Doesn't mean that I'm actually performing satanic rituals. Like,
right. No, I understand it. I am not at all defending Disney when I say, what did the guy expect was going to happen?
I don't think he expected that was going to happen.
I mean, he was either actually considering the ins and outs of building a meth lab in his room, or he was a big Breaking Bad fan.
I would honestly, I think when the news broke of that, I was like, I guarantee you this guy was binging Breaking Bad at the time. So meth lab was, like, the first word that came out of his mouth.
Yep. He was thinking about the sky blue.
Yep. Better Call Saul just went on Netflix. That's probably what I'm doing after the show tonight. All right, so the only reason Top of the World was not named number one was because it is exclusive to DVC members, and most people out there are not going to have the opportunity to go to it.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I mean, this is one that I think of everyone listening, like, half of a percent of these people will ever truly get to experience
right.
it.
Right. All right. So that brings us to our number two, which is probably, I'm pretty sure this is I definitely is the newest.
Yes.
Yeah. The most recent addition to the Disney family as far as bars and lounges. And that is Jock Lindsey's Hangar over in Disney Springs.
And, you know, it's not a surprise, or at least it should not be a surprise, that this one has done as well as it actually has, because they made it very clear they were going all out with Jock Lindsey's in terms of the interactive elements. Now, certainly it's not interactive to the extent that, say, the Adventurers Club was, which if that was still open to me, that's, like, far and away number one.
Of course.
But they made it its own thing, and they tied it to a property that people love so that you had a reason to go there even if you are not a drinker.
Absolutely. I think theming it to Indiana Jones, it's done so well. Like, I was just putting this this bar over, like, to my Uber passengers when they ask about, like, oh, where should we go? Or if I'm ever taking anyone to Disney Springs, I will always recommend Jock's to them because I always say sit inside because you're going to want to look at all the tchotchkes and things like that are on the wall because it's so well themed and it's so well done. And if you're a fan of Indiana Jones, In an era where we don't have much in-park Indiana Jones adventures other than a stunt show that is probably not going to be there in a year.
Right.
It's a welcome addition. And I think the popularity of it just kind of speaks volumes about how beloved it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've done a really good job, too, of creating, I don't want to say two different bars, but sitting outside is a completely different experience.
Yeah, totally.
And it's an experience worth having, too, by the way.
It is. I've done both. I sat at the bar, and I've sat outside with my grandparents and my aunt and uncle were visiting.
Yeah, and it's one of these things, too, that I think here's, you know, on our show, on the Extra Magic Hour this week, one of the things Kat and I did was talk about where Disney still takes risks, because the company, especially with the parks, gets criticized over and over again for they play it so safe these days.
Right.
I think one of the things that Disney deserves a lot of credit for here is they built this cool, interactive, highly themed environment, and it is a bar. I mean, they have food there, but it's bar food. It's bar sized servings.
Yeah, it's sliders. It's like a calamari flatbread, wings, things like that.
Right.
So,
like, they're not going to kick kids out, but the food is meant to complement the drinks, and that's just not something you would expect from Disney, especially at a location like Jock Lindsay's.
Absolutely. And you know, I thought Jock's was going to be a lot more crowded than it was when it first opened. It was super duper crowded. But I managed to get in the first day because all I wanted to do was sit at the bar.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can't get out. Like, the food is great. I had a drink called the Reggie's Revenge. That was really great. And, you know, I also noticed that they took a lot of the servers from Trader Sam's and moved them to Jock's when it opened, because it's that kind of environment, that kind of atmosphere where, like, your server is also part of the experience.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, I think Trader Sam's, when it first opened in Florida, I think, correct me if I'm wrong on this, what few members of the cast that, or the few cast members that were bartenders at the Adventurers Club that are still cast members were kind of steered towards Trader Sam's.
Yes, absolutely they were. I mean, I know I always speak to the cast members in Trader Sam's, and we always talk, like, a couple of them have told me that they were in the Adventurers Club.
Right.
Which, that's a wonderful segue, because our number one is Trader Sam's Grog Grotto at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort. I mean, you want to talk theming. The mixture of theming, atmosphere, and good drinks, I mean, this is the place to go.
So here is, we had one that Dimitri, or a couple that Dimitri has been to that Kevin has not, one that Kevin has been to that Dimitri has not. This is an interesting one because I've been to Trader Sam's, but I've been to the one at the Disneyland Hotel in California. I've never been to the one inside the Polynesian.
It was one of the first places I wanted to go when I moved down here because I'd heard so many wonderful things. So the cool thing about it, folks, is the drinks here. First of all, if you're going with the intention of having a good time and feeling really good, the drinks are not watered down in the least at Trader Sam's. I'm actually looking right now at my souvenir glass from there with the Krakatoa Punch that I got. So you have the option to buy a drink or buy the drink and keep the glass at the end. And
right.
I'm glad it's like they don't just like give you the glass that you used. They give you your receipt, and then you take your receipt to on the way out, and they give you a brand new one in a box.
Right. Very cool.
Yeah. But whenever you order a drink, a signature beverage, there is an action that accompanies it. A lighting effect, chants, jokes. When you order the Krakatoa Punch, the volcanoes on the wall erupt. Really, really cool. And the bartenders are all skippers as well, so they constantly are doing skipper jokes.
Right.
Which, yeah, calling it Trader Sam's is also, you know, themes it right in with Jungle Cruise, which I love.
Yeah, and that is, I think, very okay. So everything you're saying is very similar to the one in California as well. It's just, you know, the fact that California was the one that opened first, and this sort of tells you the, I guess, cross continental appeal of the Adventurers Club in Disney lore is there were all these things like the Kungaloosh and stuff like that people that had Disneyland annual passes didn't have the same reference for. They knew that the Adventurers Club was a thing, but they weren't in love with it the way those of us on the East Coast were.
Yep.
But they took all that stuff. They put it in Trader Sam's out there because, you know, this is part of Disney lore now.
And they put it in it's also in the very flawed but still fun Skipper Canteen.
Right. The Skipper Canteen, we'll have to talk more in depth about the Skipper Canteen because both you and I went there like almost similarly timed, like maybe within a week of each other.
Yeah.
And we both walked out feeling the same way.
Right.
That's a whole episode of whether it's the Extra Magic Hour or this show, what could be done to fix the Skipper Canteen.
And you know what? And it has nothing to do with the atmosphere. It has nothing to do with like the servers or anything like that. It's the food.
Yeah.
And listen, folks, I will tell you the truth here on this show. Dimitri will tell you the truth on his show. You listen to other podcasts around there, they will tell you that the Skipper Canteen is five-star fine dining. I will tell you right now, it is not. The food was, and I don't know if it was maybe just because it was like, it was one of the first days, it was the first day out the gate, so I was kind of giving them the benefit of the doubt. I still want to go back and try the steak because that looked good, but yeah, I just was not thrilled with what I had.
Look, I think one of the biggest problems for the Skipper Canteen, granted, it is in two very different areas of the resort, right? So you got to take that into account. But they're the last big restaurant to open on property before that was Morimoto.
Yeah.
And then the next thing to open is going to be, what's the name of the new one coming to Animal Kingdom?
I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember. It's some name that I am never going to remember.
All right. It starts with a T. We both know that. But again, you're looking at this is Disney's thing now. You can definitely tell where the culinary director's influences are, and that is Asian and African cuisine. And there's nothing wrong with that. I like that stuff. I like the exotic flavors. It's just, how many more do we need?
I like it when it's done well. That's the thing.
And this is the other thing, too. They have the best restaurant, in my opinion anyway, on property is of that format. It's Sanaa. It's to me, best restaurant on property is clearly Sanaa by miles. And so if you keep trying to repeat that menu every time, it's not as good as the time before and not as good as the time before.
Right.
And so on and so forth.
All right, so you want to hear what our friends around the world had to say about this?
Sure.
We're going to open up with a voicemail, which is something we haven't had in a really long time. So Scott Farney, who is here currently, called us from Epcot to weigh in on this, and so I am going to plug that in. Dimitri, to plug this in, I have to unplug you, so you will not be able to hear it.
All right, very good.
Hey, Kevin. Scott, I'm down here... sitting outside Club Cool and in between the Fountain View Cafe here in Disney World. And for your episode this week, it's the best bars of Disney World. So by far and away, the Rose and Crown Pub in the UK Pavilion in Epcot. Absolutely the best bar. Friendliest people. Of course, the British are always the friendliest people on the face of the earth. So if you want to go down there, check out the Hat Lady. Check out the greatest beers in the world. Of course, British ales are always the best beers, and have the best time of your life. Again, best pub ever. Thanks, and have a great night.
All right, so that was Scott checking in with us from Epcot.
Very good. Scott sounded like he was really enjoying himself.
The audience just heard that you couldn't hear it. Come on. patronize.
You played it for me earlier.
Scott sounds like he's having a really good time tonight. All right, so you ready to hear what the rest of our friends are on the road, the ones that didn't call in, the ones that typed in?
Let's do it.
All right. Okay, Kate Hearn says Trader Sam's. Melissa Pigeon says Tambu Lounge and Trader Sam's. Melissa Love says Territory Lounge, which I don't know where that one is.
That one is at Wilderness Lodge. That's a really nice bar and lounge.
Meg Veg says Tambu with all the U's, as Dimitri pointed out earlier. Marissa Johnson said Trader Sam's Jelly Rolls and Raglan Road.
Stephanie... Let's point out how interested it is that neither of us said Raglan Road.
Yeah.
Which is one they really want to push as something you've got to see in Disney Springs.
Yeah, the Irish pub over there in Disney Springs. Stephanie Karnsky says Rose and Crown. Ben Powers has had a great time drinking at the Beer Garden in Germany Pavilion. There is some good beer there.
Sure.
Melissa Johnson says also La Cava del Tequila. Justin Hoffman says Jelly Rolls and Tambu. Jillian Lassiter says Trader Sam's Aoa. Justin Sweeter says Top of the World Lounge, and Michael Bobeichel says Bellevue Lounge if we're talking about a standard resort lounge, Jock Lindsey's Hangar Bar if we're including a specialty bar. So that's it.
Bellevue Lounge is where?
I'm not sure. I don't know that one.
Let's see. Oh, at Boardwalk. Oh, you know what? I've spent extensive time here before. My wife was at a conference at Boardwalk, and a buddy of mine was working for 96.5 FM down there in Orlando and came and met me at Bellevue Lounge. This one is a nice spot. Like, it's a very the drinks are good. The bartenders are great. It feels like you're drinking at your grandmother's beach house.
Yeah. That sounds great. That sounds great and reminiscent of many high school memories.
Right. Like, the only thing missing is the plastic on the furniture.
Right. All right. So that about does it for this week. You ready to get out of here?
Let's do it.
That's going to do it for Two Men in the Mass this week, folks. Please also remember to give our social media pages a look. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Two Men in the Mouse. We're on Twitter at Two Men in the Mouse. Instagram is Two Men in the Mouse. And you can find the White Dragon Podcast Network, facebook.com/WD Podcast Network. We're on Twitter at White Dragon PN and Instagram at White Dragon PN. Also, folks, please make sure to join in the discussion with us and all of our great friends from around the world over at our Facebook discussion group, facebook.com/groups/twomenandthemouse. If you want your questions answered on the show, please send an email to questions@twomenandthemouse.com. And if you like the show, folks, please do us the honor of sharing it. Tweet it out, talk it up, give it a rating and review in iTunes. Every little bit helps us out so tremendously. It's only through your kind words that the show will continue to grow and prosper. Dimitri, thank you so much for joining me today. This was really fun. Really awesome to have you here.
Yeah, this is a blast. Real quick, let me promote that the Extra Magic Hour, we put out new episodes every Sunday night on WDPN, Podomatic, and iTunes, everywhere you get podcasts, and it's always absolutely free. And then on Facebook, EMH Podcast, facebook.com/EMH Podcast.
Make sure you check that out. His most recent episode, really great one. I believe it was only 30 seconds long, and it was about animals that should be making rap albums, right?
Yes. I accidentally uploaded a video for my radio show here in Raleigh.
All right, folks. And if you think Dimitri and I should do a show together in the future about non-Disney-related matters, because I've been trying to convince him for months, just bother him about it. Hit him up on Facebook. Call his cell phone number. If you need it, I'll give it to you. just keep on him. Eventually, he'll break. Folks,
I always forget you have it until you bring up, hey, bother him about his cell phone number.
Yeah. Folks, if you love Peter Mandel, and, you know, we all do, check him out at Rogue Comics, 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016. Or check him out online, roguecomics.com, where you can find a link to his eBay store. Please also, for all your culinary needs, check out thecookandwookie.com, which you can always find at thecookinwookie.com. And if you are planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, any Disney resort throughout the known world, or Aulani out in Hawaii, or now Universal Studios, look up our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weichert of Magical Travel, who you can always find on Facebook as Magical Travel Dave, or email him, dave@magicaltravel.com. All right, folks, thank you so much for joining us again this and any week. Dimitri, any closing words?
I guess just goodbye, everybody.
All right. Well said. All right, folks, please keep the magic alive every day of your lives, and we will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.